This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's not so bad now, but I've been to spin this morning, hence the very red face for people on YouTube. And then I got into an ice-covered cold swimming pool afterwards.
I have no words.
And I'm still red in the face, having plunged myself into minus temperatures.
I've got nothing to say to you. You're insane.
Right, on with the show.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Kate Watson-Smythe.
And I'm Sophie Robinson. And today we are very excited to be bringing you an interview with Jules Haynes of the Haynes Collection. Now Jules, well, she's a pioneer in saving meters and meters of designer fabric from landfill. So she's not only out to save the planet, but out to save in our pockets too. So can't wait to deep dive with her. But first of all, Kate, before we get stuck into that, I want to know, are you feeling springy? Here we are, March, finally. I mean, I absolutely hate January and February, but now I'm seeing the light. My little bulbs are poking through. The daffodils are smiling at me through my window. Have you got all the springtime feels?
I don't know where to start with that. I don't like daffodils. I've just spent so much money upgrading my heating and my windows. So I'm frankly, we're quite cosy in winter.
It's time to coax you outdoors because, as you'll know from my vision board, that I shared.
What, the one about the big world domination? That's the only thing I saw on your vision
board. That's the only
thing
you remember,
world
isn't
domination.
It? Yeah, well, you know, I'm getting on with that. I'm getting on with that slowly.
Oh, are you? Do let me know how that's coming along.
But the big thing that was on that vision board for me was gardening. And anybody who knows me well will know that I'm not green-fingered. I can mow some grass.
That's the opposite of green-fingered. That's literally cutting it down.
Oh, I know. Well, actually, interestingly, it was only the other week when we got some blue skies, I took to the brambles with the hedge cutter. I can highly recommend. Oh, I was literally like, good morning, Vietnam. I was like, take that, you brambles. Oh, it felt so good. So I've been in like the heavy destruction mode. I've done that. I've done all my clearing and my pruning. And now I'm really excited to start getting creative. So we've got some really exciting things happening. We've got, I've had the landscapers round and I'm having some brick paving put in. So we're going to have a lovely little paving area outside the kitchen so I can have my morning coffee, not on like wobbly cobbles. Got a lot of wobbly, cobbly rubble. You know, anybody who's done a renovation will know that when we rendered the outside of the house and gave it a paint and everything, I was just left with flower beds full of weeds, rubble everywhere.
So it's total destruction of the garden, isn't
it's
it?
Totally destruction. Yeah, exactly. So now I've got to get a bit of land. I mean, it's just all been like you spend and save, and I haven't had the money, but I've saved and I'm ready to get my bricks. Oh, I'm just so excited about my brick paving, so I can sit and have my morning coffee on a nice flat surface. I can't tell you these little wins. And then...
Are you building a running track? Because one coffee and you're really speedy. So, you know, you've got the land. Have your nice little patio for your morning coffee. And then a running track. You can lap the pond.
But then I'm going to get into my beds. I'm going to get into my beds next.
I beg your pardon.
I'm in my flower beds. Oh. My flower beds.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I just want... I don't know. I just wanted to share that I'm glad that we're out of the gloomy winter months. And anybody who's following me on Instagram, there'll be lots of gardening content, FYI.
I have what I think is euphemistically called a town garden. I believe the Americans might call it a yard. It's a small paved area, which is currently quite horrible and filled with building materials. But I love that. The look I would like to go for is sort of cobbles or nice paving stones. And I think you can have lots of greenery, so it'll look eventually, possibly not this year but next year, kind of green and pretty. And I'm thinking, you know, Parisian morning coffee croissant,
yeah,
style. But what I have learned,
it's all about the coffee on the patio in the morning, isn't it? It's all about that,
all about the coffee. Yes. What I have learned from previous attempts at this is that I am never going to water my tubs. I just forget. It's not going to happen. So there'll be no tubs. I think I've got to lift flagstones and plant things directly in the earth. And I also think that part of my budget, when I get into that, is going to have to be some sort of irrigation. Because I just, for about 3 days, I put on the big floppy straw hat and I filled the lovely expensive watering can.
Yeah, your galvanised watering can, lovely.
Fill it, float around, deadhead of rose, lovely. Oh. 3 days later, I'm like, somebody water the garden, it's dead, where's the cat? Somebody feed the cat who's hanging the laundry out. It's all gone wrong. So I know that about myself now. So there will be irrigation systems in place. And that's probably where the money's going.
Well, look, to be fair to you, you know, you have, I mean, how long have you been in your house now? It's not long, is it?
It will be coming up five months. Yeah.
5 months. Come on, sister. I don't think you need to be worrying about your garden yet. I've lived here for 7 years and I'm only just getting inspired to get in.
Okay, I've got time.
I'll give you a break. Yeah,
thank
I think
you.
You've got to get your house in order.
Yes.
And I feel like I've got there. Getting that conservatory done before Christmas was like the final push. So the house is in order and now it's time to get outdoors.
So on that note, I think we'll come back indoors. And anyone familiar with my blog will know that I've been writing about Jules Haynes for ages. She gathers up leftover designer fabric from design projects along with seconds, wallpapers and other high-end home accessories and sells them for a fraction of the original price.
Now, Jules, to date, you have saved nearly 22,000 metres of fabric from landfill, which, as your Instagram proudly announces, is the length of about 107 London tube trains, or enough fabric to make more than 10,000 pairs of jeans. So, Jules, how did you get into this?
Well, I used to work for a textile designer, so I learned firsthand how much waste there was in the industry and whether that's from the printing process, because much like the printer paper that you put, you know, in your printer at home, it might not always come out the right colour. Exactly the same thing happens with fabric and happens a lot. And also the makeup process. So when you're making a pair of curtains, you need to pattern match. You normally have to overorder to make sure that that all goes to plan. And so, you know, there's remnants, there's metres of wastage. And now being part of it, I know even more how bad it is. So I used to physically take home all the waste from my job, get on the tube with bags of remnants because I couldn't see it go into the bin. And then a few years later, you know, after kids, etc., there was a chance pop-up actually in my town, and there was a big sale sign in the shop window, and I chatted to the guy in there, and he made high-end curtains and upholstery. And he said, I'm just left with this stuff. My clients don't want it back and I can't see it being thrown. You know, some of it is sort of £350 a metre. And he said, you know, so every year I do this sale, but it costs me money to hire the shop, get my team to measure it. I have to physically be here for a week. So he said, in the end, I don't make any money, but I'm just happy to see that it's, you know, doesn't go to landfill. And obviously I bought some, I bought loads.
Because you hadn't hoarded enough already.
Well, exactly. And yes, so I took his business card and thought on the way home, I thought, it's crazy. Why isn't there like a Vestiaire Collective, like a high-end resale platform for the trade who don't want to be dealing with all this waste that, as this guy quite rightly said, it isn't even his. You know, it's his clients who don't want it back. So that was the start of it.
So what I'm hearing first up, before we get into this, is you're really passionate about fabric. That's what I'm hearing. And me too. So... in a way, it's kind of really lovely that you've got into this because you love pattern and textiles and interiors and furnishing. And I guess we do too, and a lot of our listeners do too. But what's really lovely is you've seen quite a unique opportunity. Rather than just opening up a fabric shop or a curtain and blinds making shop or whatever, I kind of can't believe, Jules, that you're the first person to do this. It seems like such an obvious thing.
I know. And even 3 years on, so we've been going for 3 years. And actually, I have to add that what's really lovely is you guys were the first people to ever publicly mention us. Like the first people, January 2020. And I got a message from a friend saying, have you listened to the latest podcast? And I've actually got recording of my reaction when I heard you guys talk about me. I was so, honestly, so thrilled. And it's so lovely. And thank you for having me, you know, 3 years on. But yeah, 3 years on, still nobody is doing it. I mean, there's mill shops and places like that. But our core mission is to help reduce waste in the interiors industry. So we will collect small scraps, you know, as Kate was saying, could be just 1 meter. It could be half a meter. We actually almost also have a remnant section on our website, so remnants. But we also work with the big design companies like Linwood and Sanderson, Fermoy, Christopher, Pierre Frey, and so on that side we've got high volume. So if anyone wants to also do a pair of curtains, you know, they can find fabric on our website. But yes, still we're the only people sort of banging on about textile waste.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we try and sort of on a Monday night at 6:30, we have a drop, which is when we add in our new stock. So we add in 40 to 50 new products every Monday night. And that sort of cyber elbows for fastest fingers first, because we give a little preview on our Instagram, on the stories that day, and also on the newsletter. But the people who are on, they do it, they buy it within 2 minutes. I don't know how they do it. They sort of, everybody has to stop. And at 6:30 on a Monday evening, they manage to get what they need. But it's lovely. It's exciting.
And it's interesting because, as you say, there are mill shops, but that would tend to be one particular designer might have a sale of their particular stuff. What I think is you're almost like a department store because you have all the brands and you're always adding to it. So there's a real way to rummage. And for anyone who's not familiar with the site, you can put in filters. So if you want pink stripes or purple floral, you can sort of narrow down the vast choice to what you might be looking for, which helps because there's, you know, you've got an increasing amount of stuff on there, haven't you?
Can I just ask roughly what's the sort of discount that people are getting on a fabric?
It's about 40% off. We work on behalf of the people that we partner with, so it could be more, but it's approximately 40% off. So yeah, nearly half price. And I think particularly we find a lot of people who have come to the end of their renovation, and sadly all the budget's gone because you're rewiring and replumbing, and so it's a really good, aside from the environmental side of it, where you're obviously reducing waste, but it's a great way to sort of be a bit more thrifty when maybe the budget has gone on to other things, but you want it to be beautiful.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Can we just take it back a bit to the waste? We all know the interiors industry is extremely wasteful, but you know, obviously I'm doing my house at the moment, and so when it comes to ordering tiles, you know, they always say order 10% extra for wastage and breakage and cuts, and the same with wallpaper. You know, I did an online wallpaper calculator for my bathroom, and I bought three rolls of paper, and the decorator came and went, well, that hasn't allowed for the fact that you need a full drop where the window is. You know, I'd assumed I could cut a bit at the top and cut a bit at the bottom. And he's like, no, that's a full drop. So you're going to need more for pattern match and wastage. There seems to me that there's no way round that initial wastage. But then if you are left with 10% or less, you know, I've just tiled my bathroom and I've got some leftover tiles because there was very little wastage. It's about a square metre. What am I going to do with that? You know, that isn't enough for another project. And, you know, there's only so many coasters that I can use.
I would just say on anything like that, obviously we're talking fabrics with jewels, but anything like tiles and paint and stuff, recycle it or Facebook Marketplace, get it gone. Because that little square meter of tiles could be somebody's little bathroom splashback or the area behind their oven. So I think that's the thing we've got to realise is too many people think, oh, I don't need this, chuck it into landfill. Yeah, exactly. And what you've identified, Jules, is there's loads of people who just need a little bit or, you know, can't afford. I mean, I had some Burton May tiles left over. I mean, they're hugely expensive, but I only had a little bit. And do you know what? I ended up giving them to someone who was just doing their downstairs loo and they only needed like just over a square meter. And so they were perfect. And I was just happy to see them be used, for example, in that scenario. So I think we shouldn't underestimate that even the smallest bit of waste can be useful. But what you've done, Jules, is take the hassle. I mean, it's all very well for me or Kate to stick our Reno stuff on Facebook Marketplace, but what you're dealing with is companies who don't have the capacity, as you said, with the guy that you met that kind of like sparked this whole idea to get it out there. So it's a total win-win. Do you want to give us a little bit more insight into what we're talking about in terms, have you got any facts? Because I know Kate Watson-Smythe, she loves a stat. Go on, hit us with some stats.
Definitely. Well, interestingly, and actually not surprisingly, there's not that much research on interiors, textile, home textile waste. Obviously, we know loads about fashion textiles. And a recent report said that 42% of textile waste in UK landfill, 42% is from the home and the rest is fashion textiles. So that's a huge amount. So that obviously covers duvets, curtains, but it's all from our industry and it's all something that we need to focus on. And if you think proportionately, how much you know about fashion textile waste, etc., you don't know the same about home textile waste. And I actually went back and spoke to RAP, who do lots of the research, and basically said, look, you're the ones that told me that it was really bad. And, you know, is there going to be more of a focus on this now? And what's quite interesting is they've got a sort of Textiles 2030 initiative that big brands are beginning to get on board. And it's about accelerating the conversations of how we can be more circular within textiles. And they have big brands like Danel and Hillary's. And I think that's just really positive. It shows that now this is the kind of thing that needs to be at the forefront of their mind. And there are some, you know, home textile brands as well that are beginning to do really amazing things. For Moy, for example, you know, all of the plastic bags that their rolls come in, that's all sugarcane. They're going to be having sugarcane cable ties. I went around the factory. They save every tiny scrap. And I just think by all of us talking about this and sharing this information, it allows other people to go, oh, hey, actually, maybe we can do that in our manufacturing.
And I think we should probably just deal with the issue of landfill, because I think people listening might think, but, you know, I've got a cotton duvet cover or some linen curtains, isn't that sort of fairly natural and isn't it going to break down, or a wool carpet? But obviously it's not. I mean, has everything got plastic in it or plastic backing that means it's not going to disintegrate?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I mean, they found out that we have plastic in us. I mean, plastic particles are everywhere. I totally agree. And I think sometimes we forget as consumers how powerful we are. The reason that these companies exist is because we buy from them. So if we turn around and say, look, I'm only going to buy natural fabrics, I only want packaging that arrives on my doorstep that is biodegradable or, you know, I can reuse, by us collectively using our voices, they're going to have to turn around and listen, because they need us to continue as a business. And I think I really feel like, you know, even since we started in 2020, things are definitely moving on. And it's beginning to ramp up the interest and the conversation.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's, as you talk about Fairmoy, so very, very high-end fabric brand. I mean, they're up in the sort of £300 a square metre. So, it's those brands are finding ways to make waste, or they can afford to do it. I'm encouraged by the fact that you say that Hillary's and Dunelm are coming in, because that's the high volume. It's high volume, much more affordable. And that's where we need the changes, because I think, you know, those people who can afford Pierre Frey, very expensive fabric, you know, can afford to pay a bit more if they need their packaging to be biodegradable. But it's the high street end that we really need to tap. I mean, it's the same with fast fashion, isn't it? But
yeah. And I think it's quite hard to, as somebody who just wants to furnish their home in a sort of low impact way, it's quite hard to sort of find all the answers in one place. And that's another thing that we're trying to do. You know, we've obviously got the secondhand remnant section, but we've also got a part of our website called Haynes Curates, where we align with small designers who are being conscious and as low impact as possible. So originally people came to us and they said, Jules, I've got a big bay window and I need 30 meters and you haven't got quite enough in this colorway. But by working with these designers, we're then able to offer that, you know, they could have 200 meters if they wanted, but they know that the fabric is 100% natural, that the dyes that are used are natural, and all of those small elements that add up to be important and, you know, day by day are being important to us as well.
So Jules, you've obviously, you know, it started off with fabric. It's then going into wallpaper. I see you've got some lighting and some mirrors. Are you going to be expanding into any other areas?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the whole big pipe dream is to cover it all. So we've done furniture, we do sort of small collections, see how it goes. We have just launched hardware, so last month you can get your knobs and knockers from us.
But where do they come from?
Well, interestingly, so we work with a high-end interior designer based in London, and originally the idea came because they give us lights and things like that, and they said, oh look, and actually I must add that anyone that gives us something, maybe their client change their mind or something and they didn't pay for it and they don't want the revenue back, then a proportion of the sale will go to charity because of that. So when we're given something, we're then able to donate charity, which I love. I used to work for a charity, so that excites me as well. So they gave us some huge, really high-end, like doorknobs and things like that.
And are these secondhand? Because obviously the fabrics that you're selling are all new.
Honestly, when you get to the top of the luxury industry, there is so much brand new waste.
So much waste.
And, you know, it's quite often, I know, there's an overorder. I mean, one story is I was called up by somebody and she said, an interior designer, said, look, if you can come to Mayfair next week, we've got lots of wallpaper. And I sort of went up in my small car and said, oh, great, yeah, I'll see you there. It turned out these beautiful Philip Jeffrey silk wallpaper, all of the stuff. Some of the rolls that we came back with retail at over £1,000 a roll. They're still in their cellophane. And I said to her, I'm so thrilled that, you know, you contact us. Probably easier for you that I come and collect it than you take it to a charity shop or something. And she said, oh, no. They were just going to go in the skip.
Oh, Jules. So you've got to educate the interior designers as well. Like everybody. And I know we have loads of designers listening to this podcast. So come on, people. Don't put it in the skip.
Exactly. We're here. We're making it easy. Exactly. And I think, you know, loads of them don't know that there's an easy option. And that's what we want to provide. So we had all these beautiful door pulls and things like that. So then we went to Plank Hardware and spoke to them, and they have over orders. And so often it'll either be discontinued, end of line, over orders. So we have lots of their stuff as well. And then we've been in talks with a bathroom company who have tiles, and they said, you know, we have boxes of these tiles, for some reason, you know, just it didn't take off, or again it's over orders. She said, we have them on our clearance website, but, you know, particularly the luxury industry, which is why I sort of mainly focus on that, is because they don't really want to have a clearance section. Their clients who come to their beautiful high-end website, They're probably not looking for clearance.
Well, and also, I mean, they probably feel it downgrades them if there's the sort of bargain bin at the side.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
It's not the look they want, yeah.
That is so fascinating, because I love a bargain. Oh my goodness, I love a bargain. And just, and the thought that you're getting something from, you know, a luxury item that maybe you would just never be able to afford before. Oh, it's given me all the thrills.
And so we've got tiles coming up. At the end of this month, we're going to be selling tiles.
I remember talking to you about that, a bathroom in the last house. I was like, Jules, I've got too many tiles. Take them. And you were like, at the moment, I can't.
Yes, you started this, Kate.
And so I guess you can expand. I mean, I'm obviously married to a builder, so I sort of see a little bit about building waste, I'm sure, isn't going to be your thing. I mean, that's somebody else needs to do that.
Yes.
All the extra. Yes. Because what it is, which I'm guessing might be the same for your high-end luxury interior designers, is you can't not have enough. Like, it totally messes up the build. So my husband's always like, you've got to make sure the taps are on site, the tiles are on site, the light switches are on site, because if they're not, or if there isn't enough, then it ends up costing you money, because the electrician then has to come back and refit them, or the carpenter has to come back and refit them. But it does mean you end up with this waste. And even small building sites, because I mean, I'm not talking about luxury building sites here. Small building sites, you end up with extra taps. There's always extra lighting and plug sockets left over. And again, if you've got designer ones, and they just go in the skip with everything else.
Well, and there's the other thing with the fabric over and under ordering. I'm taking a punt, having under ordered the wallpaper, that the extra rolls that come will be from the same batch. I mean, I'm not going to notice if...
Kate.
Well, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Do you know why it'll be fine?
Risky.
Because light and shadow in a room. It'll be fine. but there is that. You can see why there's a way. It's, you know, if I was operating a really high-end project for a client and the wallpaper had fallen short, then I would have probably had to make the complete order again and wasted the original order. Whereas I'm just going to add a bit on and go, oh, it's darker in that corner, isn't it? Well, that's the way the light falls. but if you're working for other people and you're being paid as an interior designer, you can't afford the colours to be off or something to be late or not matching. So you can see why the waste comes. And there's also a movement I'm beginning to see more and more about how bad cotton is. Are you sensing a change in the kinds of fabrics people are wanting to use? So linen is more natural, cotton uses a huge amount of water. Are there changes there, or is that, are we not there yet?
I probably sit in the area that's the luxury area where everyone just wants linen, like that, because, you know, it's the best, etc. I think there's a lot of mixes. People sort of feel comfortable with it. As long as it's natural, that's better. And I'm kind of aware that there's lots of advancement on how they, you know, handle the cotton and things like that to actually lower the impact. And now with all of these, you know, with the high awareness of climate change, and I think lots of people have more processes during the manufacture to make sure that they are lowering their impact.
Oh, Jules, I just love your passion and your drive in this area, and I think you're really switching things up. You're a proper game changer, and I know our audience of interior designers, I'm just shouting out, please get in touch with Jules and pass on your waste to her. And then for all the rest of us, Monday 6:30, I'm here for the drop.
Exactly. And that is UK time. I know you have listeners who are abroad as well. So
yes. Do you post abroad? Do you post out?
Yeah, we go internationally. And actually, I'm going to America in April to High Point Market. And I'm on a panel talking about waste. And that's really exciting for me to be able to sort of start those conversations in the US as well, because I get the impression that, Europe's a bit more into it. So, yes. And we ship worldwide.
So if you want to catch up with Jules's Monday fabric drop on Instagram, that's at Haynes_collection, HAINES. And the website, hainescollection.co.uk, if you just want perhaps a more leisurely browse without the pressure of having to get in there and grab it really quickly. And of course, if you want to follow us, I'm Mad About the House and she's Sophie Robinson Interiors.
And Jules, that just leaves me to thank you so much for your time and your insights and for switching up the industry. It's been an absolute joy to speak with you.
Oh, thank you, both of you. I really appreciate it.
But for now, thanks to our producer, Sarah Cudden of Feast Collective. And thanks so much to you, our lovely listeners, for tuning in.
And we'll see you in the great indoors.